Welcome to the Isles Buzz Podcast, a product of HockeyBuzz.com. This is your one-stop shop for everything surrounding your New York Islanders. And now, here are your hosts, Dan Petru and Noel Fogelman.
Dan, this is like Coca-Cola Classic now with the old open back here.
Yeah, we tried something new and it didn't work, so we're back to the original.
Yeah, as long as the show doesn't end up like Crystal Pepsi, we'll be okay.
Or Pepsi Clear, was it called Pepsi Clear?
Whatever it was. It was crap.
They were both disgusting.
Yeah, it was terrible. Well, this is the Isles Buzz Podcast. We're in the second round of the playoffs. Islanders are probably on the third hole on the golf course by now. And playoffs have been pretty exciting so far.
Yeah, they have been. Even though it's a lot of different teams in this playoffs that you're used to or you're accustomed to, it's sometimes different. The difference is good, and it's been a really good playoff so far.
Yeah, well, hopefully they'll end up going back to the 1-8 in the conference because
the current setup's terrible. I hate it.
Yeah, it's terrible. Also in the AHL, but yes. I digress. Big news on the Islanders last week.
Yes.
Dennis Seidenberg's back for one more year, and he actually got a raise. I mean, a little minor raise, but still, he's back, and questions remain. Can Ryan Pulock actually make this team?
Well, you think so, right? You would have to think so. All rational thought would lead you to believe that he will make this team. You have to assume they're going to lose at least one defenseman over the offseason, maybe two. So you have to think that there's a spot for him available on this roster. You have to, right? There just has to be.
I mean, you would think so. I mean, I was looking at it, and maybe just the conspiracy theorist in me was looking. He's a restricted free agent at the end of this year, Ryan Pulock.
Oh, right. Oh, he is this year?
Yes, he is.
Oh, that will help him. Okay.
It'll help him. Maybe Garth kept him in Bridgeport to limit him to a qualifying offer.
That's stupid.
You know our GM.
I know it is, but if that's the reason, then that's just silly.
I mean, I doubt that's the reason, but I mean, could be. I mean, because they didn't want to have to deal with the same issues they went through with Ryan Strome and Brock Nelson this way.
Yeah, but the kids played how many games? He wouldn't have much of a leg to stand on. Even if he had a great year, then maybe you get him on a $2 million a year deal for 3 or 4 years, and then that becomes a bargain. I don't buy that.
No, I mean, it's just a thought, you know, kind of a whacked out theory, but I would imagine that he would be on this team starting next season.
You would have to, like I said, rational thought would lead you to believe that he would be, but with the Islanders, rational thought is not always an easy thing to grasp. You know, he's not an easy thing for them to grasp.
Yeah, now speaking of Ryan Pulock, he was the 15th pick in the 2013
yes.
draft.
Yes.
Lottery was held over the weekend. Islanders, as expected, ended up with the 15th pick in the draft. Do you think, I would imagine that they need a, we'll get into the draft in, you know, later shows, but the main focus has to be a scoring winger.
I think it's best available. It's best available player. Whoever they draft at 15 isn't going to touch a roster for 2 to 3 years.
Or 5 or 6, but that's another story. Yeah.
So if you think you're going to get a winger that's going to be there in a year, you're not. It's going to be at least 2 to 3 years.
Yeah,
so best player available.
Especially the way the Islanders, you know, hold on to their prospects. You know, even the guy's ready, he won't be playing. But they do have some history picking at 15.
Yes, they do.
You know, besides Pulock, obviously the biggest name is Mike Bossy. You know, 15.
Yeah, he worked out.
He worked out. Some other guys who have not worked out in the biggest draft, probably one of the biggest drafts ever, 2003, Islanders draft Robert Nielsen.
Well, at least he played in the NHL.
He played in the NHL. They could have had Zach Parise, but you know. A guy included in the trade to get Ryan Smith was Ryan O'Mara,
yep.
2005 draft. I think he played maybe 2 games in the NHL.
Yeah, he had some issues. He had some off-the-ice issues. I mean, he was never going to be a big goal scorer. He was definitely like a bottom-six forward. But I know he had some off-the-ice issues that kept him from reaching his full potential.
Right, and then former Islander great Jeff Tamalini's father, Steve Tamalini.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to do a mailbag later in the show today.
Yes,
we got a lot of good questions, and we'll try to answer them. All right, so we started last week with report cards on HockeyBuzz.com, and I did a Josh Bailey one over the weekend. And
yes.
For some reason, I'm getting crushed. Because this Islander fan base, the hatred of for Josh Bailey runs so deep. Can you explain that to me, please?
I don't get it. I don't. I mean, I don't know what they expect. It's not his fault he's playing on the first line, right? That's not his fault. So let's just start there. It's not his fault he plays where he plays. It's not his fault he plays the minutes that he plays. That's on Gart Snow, not having enough depth in the top six. In a perfect world, is he a middle six forward? Yes. In a real perfect world, is he probably a third line winger? Yes. But he's not. This is what he is, right? So I don't understand. Do you want him to fail on the first line? He had the best year, best statistic career of his year. I mean, I don't understand. If you look back at that draft too, outside of Stamkos and Doughty, I mean, there really isn't much there to be regretting. They took him at 9. It is what it is. Yes, he struggled a few years, but let's just look at this year. Let's just look at this season. I think he's fine in his own end. People are going nuts that he's not physical and he doesn't take the body, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, okay, he is what he is. He's a playmaking winger, okay? Who's fine in his own end? Is he great? No, but neither is Shaq Veris. And no one ever complains about him not taking the body or finishing a check. So, look, the line works. Is it perfect? No, but that line worked this year. Lee, Bailey, and Tavares worked for large stretches of the season. So, I just don't understand. The fan base finds its favorites, and you can say nothing bad about them, and the fan base finds a few people to target, and there's nothing they can do right. But, I mean, look, 50-plus points, he had a good year. Let's move on.
Yeah, you know what? And it's not a contract year. So, no. You can say about that. You know, Tavares requested Bailey on his line.
Yeah, you know, Tavares needs to pump his brakes, though. He shouldn't be choosing who's on his line. I'm sorry.
But you know what? I have no problem with that. I really don't. I mean, the guy's been playing with, Corey Conacher.
Well, yeah, I guess, if he's going to go through based off of what's on the roster, yeah, I guess that's not a bad thing. But the roster needs more talent on it, and this wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, and, one of the biggest, complaints about Bailey, and it's really not fair, is the fan base says doesn't show enough effort or emotion.
That's subjective. That is totally subjective.
Yeah, just because he doesn't, rah-rah or anything like that when playing. Same thing with Brock Nelson.
You can quantify Brock Nelson more, though. Not that he's not trying. It's just the way he plays is easy to defend. It's a soft-style play where he avoids contact. He doesn't go into the corners. He doesn't win any loose pucks. I would say that Bailey avoids contact at time. But he goes into the corners. He can win a loose puck on the boards.
Yeah, absolutely.
He also has Anders Lee on his line, too.
Yeah, exactly.
So the way that line works, it is what it is. He's the playmaker, and is it a perfect world? No. Would you rather have someone more talented on the first line? Sure. But it is what it is. It works. I mean, look, Patrick Maroon is playing with Connor McDavid, and that works for the Oilers. Phil Kessel plays a lot in the third line in Pittsburgh, but it works for the Penguins. Just stop falling in love with line associations. And whatever works, works.
Yeah, especially if you have talent on the other lines. And that's something the Islanders don't do, have, and that's a fault of Gart Snow.
Yes.
Yeah. And so if you look at that draft, there were a couple, obviously Erik Karlsson went in 15. Jordan Eberle went in the 20s. So there are a couple guys, but a lot of people passed on Erik Karlsson.
Wasn't the guy. I thought Karlsson was in Tavares' draft.
No, he was 15 in Bailey's draft. So,
really?
Yeah. So, there are a couple guys.
That's a big one.
Yeah. But a lot of teams passed on him. So it's not like he went at 10 right after Bailey. All right, thanks, Steve. It's the mailbag time, off-season edition, and we got some really good questions on Twitter. So the very first one we'll do today when we call it up is, of course, I'm not prepared, Dan. That's a bad job by me.
Yeah, way to be on the ball here.
Yeah, totally, totally. If I was prepared, like I was in school, it would have been written down, and here we go. All right, I got it now. This is from Greenlee718. On Twitter, chances of the Islanders trading this year's pick and maybe packaging them for a defenseman?
don't see a lot of value in this pick. I don't. It's the 15th pick in not a great draft. And like, this is not a knock so much on this draft. If you just look at the last two or three that have been so deep with talent, this draft will, we look back in this draft 3, 4, 5 years from now, I'm sure like, wow, that guy's a great player, that guy's a great player. But it's not a draft where you're going to have a bunch of guys step into the league right away. You're not going to have 6 18-year-olds in the league next year. And you might not have them all in the, you know, 6 or 7 guys in the league a year after the draft class. It's just not an instant gratification draft like you've had in the past couple of years. So I don't see a huge value for the 15th pick. Yeah, maybe if you put it along with a roster player and a prospect, you can get something for that. But when have you seen Gart Snow do that? When have you seen Gart Snow trade his first-round pick besides Thomas Vanek, the Thomas Vanek deal, or actually Ryan Smith as well? But he loves his first-round draft picks. I fully expect the Islanders to draft at 15.
Yeah, and with Garth, give him credit when he deserves it. He accumulates first-round picks.
Yeah, that's great, you know, if you're going to put him on your roster at some point.
Yeah, you know, and hopefully we'll see Matthew Barzal this year. He's in the finals of WHL with Seattle right now. I would imagine we'll see more trades at the expansion draft than we will at the entry-level draft.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. I think you're going to see a lot more trades leading up to the expansion draft.
Yeah, totally. And our second pick from Eric Vogel, number one Vogel on Twitter, is, how much room for actual movement is there on this roster? And that's a good question, because with Seidenberg signing, they pretty much have a full roster to go to battle with next year already.
Yeah, they do, and that roster's not good enough.
No, so it's not.
They're going to have to make some moves. I mean, they have to clear some space up front. They have to clear some space in the blue line. And so, you know, they're probably going to lose a player in the expansion draft, so maybe that's a defenseman. And they gotta find a way to move. Alan Quine and Shane Prince can't be playing important minutes for this team next year.
No.
They can't. So they gotta find a way to move one or two forwards up front. If Quine or Prince is one of the extra forwards, that's fine. If he's the third, one of those guys is the 13th forward, that's fine. I don't think both of them can be on the roster. Of course, you could send either of them to the AHL and they wouldn't clear waivers. I mean, they would clear waivers.
Yeah, so to have one of those guys as the 13th is fine.
You can't have both of them on the roster.
No. You wouldn't have to worry about 3 goalies, so it opens up an extra roster spot.
You would think.
Yeah, exactly, because, you know, Berube is going to test free agency, so he'll be playing in the AHL somewhere next year.
He'll be in the KHL.
Yeah, probably. And you would have to imagine that both Pulak and Barzal will be on this team next year.
You have to think.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about, like, okay, so you go with your fourth line again of Kuhlman, Tsitsikas, and Clutterbuck, unless you can find the way to get rid of Kuhlman's contract, and that opens up some room. And I think your third line is fine with Chimera, Hosang, and Bouvillier. And then you look at your top two lines, there's not a lot of room there. You put Barzal in there somewhere. You got to make room for somebody. Because, like I said, this team needs an upgrade. It needs one top six player, preferably a second line center that you can pencil in for 50 points next year. And I don't know if they have that.
No,
roster right now. So
no, and that, you know, they can still revisit, you know, acquiring, you know, Matthew Shane, but there's also a guy who segues perfect to our next question right now. Jackson Bayer on Twitter, Jackson_Bayer7, asks, what are the chances that Ilya Kovalchuk either comes back to the NHL or comes to the Islanders? What would happen in this situation? So obviously there are reports that, you know, his KHL contract's over and he wants to come back to the NHL. Devils have his rights.
Yeah, they do. I think he's going to come back. It's just a matter of what the Devils do. I mean, if you asked me before they won the draft lottery, I'd say they'd probably trade him. But now, I mean, it's intriguing to hold on to him. And I know I've talked to some people in the Devils organization, and Kovalchuk was a headache, but apparently he's going to come back with the right attitude. We'll see what happens. I mean, if Radulov can come back and be fine, Kovalchuk has far less baggage than that. And all of a sudden, you know, you add a top two pick for the Devils. Top overall pick for the Devils. You add a Kovalchuk, your roster's a lot better. I could see them holding on to them. If they trade him, I don't think they'd trade him inside the division. I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. I don't think he ends up on the Islanders.
Yeah, the thing was, all 30 teams have to approve a trade, You know, if he goes back to the Devils, the league doesn't have to, all the 30 teams, all 20 other, or actually 30, because now with the Vegas.
Yes, 30.
Wouldn't have to approve it. So it'd be the easiest path back to the NHL is with the Devils.
Right.
Having the first pick overall is not like having, you know, Auston Matthews or Connor McDavid.
Not this year, no, but there's still talented players that could step in and help you right away. I mean, whatever direction they go with, whether it's Patrick or Hersher, I mean, I fully expect either one of those guys to be on the Devils opening night roster and to contribute.
Yeah, I mean, the Devils still need a lot of help, and I don't think, you know, just adding those two guys are going to, you know, immediately jump.
No, but you know, they're getting better. They're not going to be as bad as they were last year. You can add maybe seven to eight more wins on your win total for the year.
Yeah, yeah. Which who knows if that'd be enough to, you know, crack a playoff spot. But
no, probably not. But yeah. It's an improvement. It's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, we'll have to ask David Putty next time he's on our Devils podcast.
But, yes.
Yeah, but there are reports that Kovalchuk wants to stay in the area, so. And I don't know if that means staying in New Jersey or going to, obviously, you know, Brooklyn or Manhattan,
right.
Those two, or Florida. So it's, you know, it kind of limited what, you know, movement the Devils can actually, you know, send him to. So it'd be interesting. What would it take to acquire him for the Islanders? Maybe a second round pick?
I don't know. I have no idea what his asking price is. And, you know, we'll dig into it more. And I'm sure this will surface more before the draft.
Yeah.
But I don't know. For a 34-year-old, he still has a ton of talent. I think at worst, he's still a 20-25 goal scorer. I don't know. I honestly have no idea what his value is right now. That's something we would have to look into.
Yeah. And, you know, Garth did flirt with him, you know, prior to signing with the Devils.
They did. Yeah, they did.
So let's see if, you know, he can nail that down. All right, Dan. We'll talk soon again, closer to the expansion draft.
Sounds good.
Where can you find the Isles Buzz podcast? Head over to hockeybuzz.com for all Islanders news.
Like us on Facebook searching Isles Buzz and follow us on Twitter at thefirstnoel19 and at dandandoodle78.
And the Isles Buzz podcast is also on iTunes. Head over to the podcast app, search Isles Buzz, hit subscribe, and latest episodes go right to your phone.